Good morning. I think we should sing for another 20 minutes. Worthy is the Lamb, seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, the treasure of heaven, crucified. I can't even imagine what those words mean this morning. I thought I knew what I was going to open, and then I heard those words and I sang them. And I asked to ask myself in my heart, do I really believe what the depth of what that means? And I would say that welcome to Bethel 2016. We have some people standing up back there. Can you find a seat? Please. You're making me nervous. It's either you're going to run out the door any minute, or you're just not sure if this guy's okay. And I thought about 2016, and I want to welcome you to Bethel 2016. And I look at the challenge that's before us, a new year, and I wonder if I can say those words every moment of every morning as I start new day in 2016. Worthy is the Lamb. I want him to be the theme of my praise, and I'm weak and I'm flawful, and I pray that the Lord will instill that in my heart, that we need to be more like him and more praiseworthy in this year. Paul Tripp, Bible teacher and Christian author, pastor, in his devotional last week, asked the question. He sends us through on blog and email. He asked the big question, should we make a New Year's resolution? He states, some of us want to lose weight or get into better shape. Jennifer and I on South Beach next Monday. And this Monday, tomorrow. Some of us want to lose weight or get into better physical condition. Some of us want to save more money and cut out needless spending. Some of us want to change careers or kick that bad habit. We want to create a better version of ourselves. Goes on to say, here's the bottom line. You don't need a big resolution to change your life, because your life is defined by 10,000 little moments. Jesus Christ is present and active in all these small, seemingly insignificant moments. And he has resolved by his life and death to rescue you and I from sin and transform you and I into his likeness. In a lifelong process of change, he is undoing you and rebuilding you again, not into a better version of you, but into a version of him. Isn't that great? Sometimes I think I just need a makeover. And there's a lot of work to do in that makeover. But I don't want a better version of myself. What I want is a version of him. And that would be our request and our prayer for each one of us in this room this morning, that as we embark on a new year, as we see a challenge before us that is daunting, because 2016 will present the same challenges that 2015 did, maybe even larger. And you think back in 2015, you think of all the things that we were subject to and conditions of physical health and monetary losses or whatever it might be in your life, relationships. 2016 holds the same, because that's life. And what I want to do is be able to have Christ as my guide. I love what Dave Sawyer gave us this morning as a poem that he learned as a little guy. He wants to step out into the darkness, holding the hand of the one who is the only guide that we can count on, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what my prayer would be for each one. The leadership here has discussed this, and we feel that and believe that for those who find their hope in the person of Jesus Christ, in his work, and his value, and his bloodshed, that one of the best places for us to allow God's Spirit to change us and mold us is in small groups. This doesn't excuse us from personal Bible study. There's a challenge of 2016 from Vertical Church this week. And they were the three D's: discipline, desire, and delight. And it was a 120-day challenge to get into God's word and to read. And we read this in Romans chapter 12. So it never excuses us from this personal connection with the Almighty through his word and prayer. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's those 3D challenges: to discipline ourselves, to be in God's word, to desire God's word, and to delight in it. And that's a process as we stay in it and stay on it and stay with it, develops into a lifestyle that changes us. But in small groups, we can experience real, powerful, biblical fellowship that is based on active participation with a common interest and a commitment to living for and with one another and growing into Christ's likeness. You know, we do something called Ministry of the Month starting this year. And instead of us pitching Ministry of the Month for small groups, I thought I would speak about it. Today is our pitch for the ministry that goes on here called small groups. Fellowship is at the heart of real biblical small groups. The very same force that was critical in the holding together of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, we read this. These numbers were added. There were more believers coming to know Jesus Christ. And it says that they were added to them weekly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. We need each other, and we can't live to ourselves. I remember having this conversation with my dad. I remember him giving me the fundamental outline of what it was to be responsible as a believer and reflecting my faith so others would follow. And I said, "Dad, I want to be an island. I want to live to myself. I don't want to be accountable to anything." Well, we don't live to ourselves. We live unto each other. And our responsibility is to be with each other. In fact, in the New Testament, you won't find a New Testament believer that's not connected to a local body. It doesn't exist. People say, "My church is on the golf course." I don't think so. I love golf. "My church is fishing." I love fishing. But that's not church. That's not when the body comes together to connect and do what is necessary for us to survive in this world that has nothing to do with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with an understanding faith of who Jesus is and what he's done for this lost scene. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, outlines the necessity of each of us as believers as our part in the body. He uses the human body as an analogy of both the body of Christ universal and the body of Christ local. Each member placed into the body by the Lord to serve as the Lord has gifted him or her. Each member is needed. We're going to read about that this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. If you have your Bible, please read along. If not, it'll be on the screen here. New King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. "For as the body is one, it has many members." Now remember, this is the analogy that Paul is using of both the human body reflecting of what it is like as the body of Christ, both locally and universally. I'm going to speak about that in a minute. "But all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would it be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would be the body, or where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the foot or feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for one another. And if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are body of Christ and members individually. Isn't that great? I think this is just a great passage that explains to us where we sit in terms of God's master plan to have us witness to both the world around us, the city of Sault Ste. Marie, the family, the friends, and those that we work with as part of a body that works and has no division within it, that works together, and each member is needed. In verse 27, I want you to just notice that at the end of our reading, it says, now we are the body of Christ and members individually. Verse 12 says, the body is one whole but made up of many members. Verse 13 tells us that we become members of the body when we were baptized by one Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the divine operation which places believers in the body of Christ. This isn't believers' baptism. This isn't water baptism. This is the time and the event that happens when a person trusts Jesus Christ and they are welcomed into the family of God and they are made to be part of the body by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, baptized by one Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They trust Jesus Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen? We don't bring anything else here. We don't bring our good looks. We don't bring our bank book. We don't bring our credentials after our name. We bring together, and our fellowship is in Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 1, and him only. Jesus Christ crucified. Our faith and trust in him alone makes us part of the body of Christ universal. That each one of those believers that have trusted Jesus Christ are now part of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I love this. In him you also trusted. Paul was talking to the Christians in Ephesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That was the stamp, the stamp of royal seal on us as the guarantor that once we trust Jesus Christ, our inheritance is sure, eternal, and kept for us. Guaranteed a future blessing. We read about it. Jeff shared those words, that in the ages to come, We might be showed the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ through his blood. An inheritance incorruptible that will not fade away, heaven and home. But until then, we're called to be participating members of the body of Christ, universal as part of what God has given to this world, and locally, some of you, I hope all of you, consider Bethel Bible Chapel as your local body. And what it is church isn't a building, but it's a group of believers that come together and honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what church is. When I say I'm coming to chapel, I do like this building, but I'm coming to you, your chapel. When I say I'm coming to church, I'm coming to each one of you, because we're gathering as part of a local body to encourage, to love, to support, to uphold, to do all the things that are required for us to, as Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. It's interesting that we're told in verse 18 that in order for the body to function properly, it needs every member to participate. This is a challenge for 2016. I can speak by experience that it's very difficult to walk when your big toe has gout. I don't know if any of you ever suffered from it. I've been healed by that, from that. But I don't know if you ever tried to walk with one toe out of line. It's impossible. I don't know if you ever tried to weed whack with your shoulder muscles ripped off. It's very difficult. See, and each one of you would have your own experience, some greater and some less, but the experience is that as a body to function properly, it needs every member to step in line and do what each member needs to do as it's designed and gifted to do. And verse 25 and 26 says that there should be no schism in the body. See, we saw that this weekend. We saw this. But that when the members should have the same care one for another, that if one member suffers, then all the members suffer. Isn't that the way it should be? We shared in a memorial service yesterday for someone that we loved. And when Candy lost her husband, we lost a friend, and we care with her. That's what a body does. The body upholds and supports and gathers around and loves and cares for. We had that when Dave Nicholson had his heart issue. We have that ongoing with Gail Kassenbach. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. We're called to uphold each other. We're called to support each other. We're called to encourage and to love each other. See, the body can't have a member as a rogue. You can't have a foot going one way and the rest of the body going the other way. We step in line to what we've been designed for, and that is to bring honor and glory to the person of Jesus Christ. When they look at this, they say, wow, this can only be by divine order. When one is honored, then we all rejoice with that member. We're going to hear some testimonials this morning of how this body life plays out right here at Bethel Bible Chapel, specifically in small groups. See, you can have body life without small groups. Absolutely. Body life is what we're doing right now together, fellowship, and what we did in the fellowship hall before this service. But it's only enhanced when we can drop all the facade that we put on and we can connect at a level that we can't do in a global audience of 375 people. But we can do it when we get together in a small group that cares for one another. And small groups works. We had Peter Achetti, who's a small group leader with Ken and Gail. And when Dave had his trauma, they called Peter, called Ken. They were there with the family. That's what small groups does. Small groups gathers around and supports when support's needed. They reach out and they care, and they are the arms and legs of our Savior right here in our group. We're going to hear a testimonial from Valerie and Graham, who are small group leaders. And if you would come up and share with us what God has put on your heart to tell us about your experiences.
Hi, as Andrew mentioned, we're Graham and Valerie Lidstone, and we've been involved in small groups for years. And as a matter of fact, small groups aren't really a new thing to Bethel. My brother Bob, who is 47 years old, often when he comes home, he'll talk about how he and his friends did a variety of things while my parents were involved in a small group when he was like 15 or 16. So that goes back some 30 years ago, and I can remember throughout my life being involved in small groups a number of different times. Leaving the house on a cold Thursday evening, sometime around 7 o'clock to go to the Samards isn't always a real easy thing to do. You get home from work around 6, and then all of a sudden you have a quick supper and you head out to go to small group. I don't necessarily look forward to that part of it, but once I get to small group and the encouragement and the fellowship and the blessings that I receive or that we both receive far outweigh that getting into the cold car. Anyway, Valerie and I are going to kind of be a tag team here, so I've done a little introduction and Valerie's going to continue, so go ahead.
And I'm just going to read a few points here. Good morning, everybody. Every small group has its own unique aspects and qualities. Within our current small group, we typically all arrive at the same time, spend a few minutes catching up with each other, standing around the kitchen island, enjoying a cup of coffee or tea and a light snack. This is a time to share some excitement and struggles from the past week. This informal sharing and interacting helps to build a level of comfort with one another. It has been my personal experience that this time has allowed me to be more open and transparent in discussing and sharing God's word. Our small group opens with music and committing our evening to the Lord. Dave Samard leads us with the guitar, and on one occasion he even played the ukulele, which is really cool. When our small group starts out singing, it has really allowed our hearts to be more prepared to share. And it has been a real blessing to learn about others' walk with the Lord and their life experiences.
Thanks for that, Valerie. It's amazing that Valerie's actually up here, but her favorite cousin, Andrew, asked her, and Valerie rarely says no to Andrew. So,
and I don't like speaking publicly.
Anyway, our last study was entitled God as He Longs for You to See Him, and it was a study that our group really enjoyed. We'd watch a short video, and following the video, we'd have a discussion around a few questions. An example of one of those questions was, share specific ways you are personally getting to know God. What are your best practices that have helped you to know God better? One of my answers to that question was small groups. Spending time with other Christians and talking about God's word and what it means to you certainly gives me a much better and clearer understanding of who God is. And I think that's an excellent way to just really appreciate God, to spend some time together with Christians that are like-minded and believe the same thing that you do. And, you know, you come up with a situation that you struggle with, and everybody can look at it from maybe slightly different perspective. And it's not just like hearing somebody Sunday morning, but it's getting together and really enjoying what you can learn from other people. This thought ties so well to another part of small groups that I really enjoy, and that's the fellowship we have together. We're at small group kind of with a common goal, and as we interact around the Smart's living room, we're able to talk about what God is really teaching me. And then we go beyond that and we say, so how does this really practically work in my life? And I look at it and I say, what does this mean to me as an insurance broker when I'm at work every day? Or what does it mean to me when I'm a school board trustee and sitting around a table talking about education? Or what does it mean to me as a grandfather when I am interacting with my 2-year-old or my 6-year-old grandchild? And what does it mean to me as a father as I see my own children raising their children? And how can I react and help them as a father at a different stage of my life? And how does what I'm learning here today help me as a husband? And how can I be a better husband and more in tune to my wife because of what I'm learning at small group? I think fellowship is just a real valuable thing, and the things that I have learned from the other people in my small group certainly influence my life on a regular basis. Your turn.
So we really strive to leave time at the end of our small group for prayer requests. This oftentimes involves opening up to each other with relevant needs and concerns for ourselves, our families, and others. I believe to truly be happy, growing, and fulfilled, I need to keep God in the center of my life, and having a small group of people who are willing to pray to that end, and I for them, is a real privilege and inspiration.
Finally, one of the things that I've appreciated from small group is the opportunity that it gives me to share with people that I meet every day. Somebody will ask me at work, what are you doing tonight? And I'll say, oh, I'm going to small group. And they say, well, what's small group? And I'm able to talk a little bit about what our church is and what our church does and how we just have an opportunity to look into God's word and see what that means to us. Another example that came to my mind when I was thinking of this is I sit on a provincial board for school boards, and we were sitting around at our executive table one day and talking about something to do with church. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of school board trustees that do not have a positive idea of what church is. And I was able to share with them something that we had learned in our small group maybe a few weeks before that, and that was a group that was a while ago. But I said that as a church and as a small group, we talked about how it's not our job to judge, but it's our job to love. And when I was able to share that, and that was something that we really believed as a church and as individuals, everybody kind of said, oh, well, that's a really good thought. And it's just a wonderful way that we as a small group can kind of interact and really share God's word. Anyway, just in closing, both Valerie and I desire that our lives really count for something. We feel that small group has allowed us to be challenged in how we live and how we spend our time and how we react with other people. Andrew mentioned earlier about Dave Harding, and when we were involved in a small group at the Overmans a number of years ago, and Dave and Candy were part of that group, and we got to know Dave and Candy and just what special people they were. And yesterday at the service, we went and talked to Candy shortly after the service and just said how sorry we were and what a special guy Dave was. And her reaction to me, or her statement to me, was, you know, we just wish that we had got involved in Bethel earlier. And my thought to her was, Candy, we are just so blessed that you did get involved in Bethel. And as a body, when I was thinking of what we were going to say, I was thinking about the body of Christ, and Andrew's talked about that. And as a body, being part of a small group just really allows us to really appreciate each other and how much they can add to our lives. And Valerie and I have been truly blessed by a small group. And often on our drive on the way home, we talk about what we've learned and we've talked about what people have said and how that will impact our life the next day. So if you're struggling about that cold drive, and this is the salesman part of me because I am an insurance broker, and just going out in the evening and you really don't want to, we can honestly tell you that small group is really worth it.
Thank you, Graham and Val. And next we're going to have Andrew and Janice Black come up and share their experience.
Ooh, scary. I had a hard time sleeping last night.
Me too.
Well, good morning. Since coming to Bethel, Janice and I have been blessed to be part of small groups. These last few years, we have opened up our home to be hosts. Being a part of small groups has allowed us to grow in a few areas. Our friendship with people in the group has grown. Prayer has become priority, and the Word of God has become real to us. The last Bible study with Chip Ingram was so fantastic, we all felt it was the best one we've been to so far, or that we've studied so far, showing us that God is in control of everything, good or bad.
As a group, we laugh together and we cry together as God works in our hearts and heals us by His Word. It's comforting to know that we stand by each other as we go through the storms in life that each one of us has. We have no problem with discussion in our group. In fact, our poor leader has to fight to get a word in. Family, friends, and co-workers know that we meet on Wednesdays, and now they call us to lift up their requests in prayer. I am so thankful to our small group for lifting up my family in prayer these last few years. We've had a few major things go on, and we've been able to see the faithfulness of God moving in the lives of my family. Through small groups, I've learned to be more bold in my walk with the Lord, especially with the people I work with. I have learned to look past myself and see others around me and to be more sensitive to their needs. Being a bookkeeper, I like to sit at my desk, work with my numbers. I'm like Dave Nicholson. I love math, and I don't want to be disturbed. So it's been a real process to move beyond that. I've learned to look past myself and see others around me and to be more sensitive to their needs. Sometimes these studies, they push us out of our comfort zones. I now try to ask myself, what would Jesus do? What does he see instead of the hard exterior of the people, you know, that people wear and the hardness? I have had opportunity to witness and pray at work with my co-workers of God's goodness and how he loves us. Our small group has lifted up my co-workers, and God has been faithful to heal, restore, and bring salvation to some of my co-workers. In fact, I've had men come into my office, and we've been able to shut the door, and we've been able to pray with them. I've had one of our co-workers experience cancer a couple of times and came to the office and said, I need prayer. And he'd say, things are getting worse. I said, we're going to pray harder. I've also got to know one of the ladies here in the church. I didn't realize her brother, it was her brother, and he worked for us, and he went for a serious operation. And he almost died. But before he went for his operation, the Lord laid on my heart that I needed to be bold, that he might not make it through this operation. And it was really scary, but because of small groups and the encouragement, I stepped out and I confronted him and I said, don't you want to see your mother again? Then I found out he had this wonderful Christian heritage and he was the wayward son. And all his family was saved, and we were able to pray and praise the Lord. He almost did die, but God brought him through, and he's changed. It's exciting. Keep praying for him. He still needs to grow in the Lord. We have a core group of people in our group, and some of our people in our group have gone out to start new groups, and then others have gone out to help other groups. It also has been great to get to know new people that have passed through our home and on to other groups. Sometimes opening up your home each week can be challenging, but it does keep the house clean. And you do get good snacks when you haven't had time for supper. And the rewards of opening up your home to others and their needs is great. People have shared their lives with us in confidentiality, and we've been able to see them healed and grow in the Lord. We've even experienced a wonderful salvation.
Okay, this is the tricky part. Okay, I'd like to share how the Lord touched me and healed me through his small groups. For many years, I struggled with not having parents. One week, this subject came up about how many suicides were happening at the time, and So I'd like to say, well, both my parents committed suicide. One at age 5, and one at age 15. I didn't share this with anyone because, well, I felt ashamed. I didn't want people to look at me differently because of what happened. The Holy Spirit started to work in my heart and prompted me to share about what happened, because what I was doing was listening to a lie by holding it in. By sharing with small groups, the Lord touched me and I received a major release from that burden. This never would have happened if there hadn't been a trust and a friendship built up through the years in this small group. So I feel like the group shared my burden of pain, and the Lord touched and healed me.
We look forward to our small group each week, and we are truly thankful for each and every one of them and our leader, and can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for us in the new year. Sometimes in a big church, small group makes it possible to get to know people. We encourage all of you who have not been involved to take a leap of faith and become part of a small group. You truly will be blessed. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice and Andrew. You might ask, what is this small group? We have a mission statement that I'd like to put up. There's two slides. Small groups, if you can make those the first slide big for us, please. The purpose of small group is to nurture an atmosphere in which people can care for and connect with one another while growing in personal faith and service for Jesus Christ. Promote fellowship and unity. Nurture spiritual gifts in a safe environment, not a substitute for church attendance, we said that already, but should lead to an enhancement of organized church services. These groups should equip us to learn, love, serve, and reach our sphere of influence for the glory of God. Next slide. How do we accomplish this? We need to develop relationships within our small groups. We need to develop relationships within our church group here. Encourage a safe environment where concerns can be shared confidentially. We heard this in prayers. And prayer is our main resource, is accessible. We will be there for each other in times of need, in times of praise, inside and outside our small group time. Motivates commitment, respect the timelines. We just tell that because our small group, it's 10:30 and we're still hanging around. Shares responsibilities without anyone feeling forced to participate where they are not comfortable. We have 9 small groups participating across Sault Ste. Marie. 120 people are involved, and we have room for more. We want to encourage, as 2016 rolls out, that we can interact with each other in a way that we haven't interacted maybe in 2015. We thank you for testimonies. Testimonies are powerful, amen? We don't do enough testimonies. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said he came here to bear testimony of the Father. I mean, that he was the living representation of what that was all about. And our faith message or our testimony to others should be our experience as we live and grow and become more like our Savior. I want to leave you with this. Whether you're in a small group, whether you're not in a small group, whether or not you feel that this is a body that you belong to or you don't, body life needs to look like this. I'm going to leave you with 3 one another's that we need to think about as we head into 2016. First of all, we need to love one another. 1 John 4:7-11 says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the appeasement for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, also let us love one another. We as a group, a body, need to care for each other in love. We're called to be members. We're called to participate. We're called to love each other. I want to just ask you first. This is a large audience. I want to ask you first, are you in the body? Because this statement of love is directed to those that recognize a love that came from somewhere else. See, I don't love because it's in me. I love because God has placed within me his spirit. Anything you see is not because I'm a good guy. Remember the better version of myself? There is no better version. What it is a version of him. And my question to you is that the love of God is shown, that he manifested it, he gave it clearly to us in that he sent his only begotten son that he might be the propitiation, the appeasement, the mercy seat to bear our sins in his body on the cross. That's how you get in the body. Remember, we discussed this earlier, that we're sealed with the Spirit. We're baptized into the body by one Spirit, and that is at the point of conversion. I want to ask you, you need to start 2016 being part of the body. If you're not part of the body, you need to be part of the body. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will drag on you and appeal to you in a way that you've never, ever heard or felt before. Jeff read those verses that, for by grace are we saved through faith. And even that, even faith isn't of yourself. It's a gift of God. Our prayer is that God will impart that gift to you this morning if you have not recognized salvation in Christ alone through faith alone. Our appeal would be that you get in the body, and then once you're in the body, then you can start acting like a member, and that is loving one another. The second challenge is to serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, we're out of time. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for flesh or for selfishness, but through love, serve one another. We're called out to reflect the freedom that we've been given. We're not under law anymore. Those restrictions have been nailed to the cross. Yes, we're going to live for good works that Christ has prepared beforehand for us, but we're not getting there with works. But now that we're saved, works are that we reach out and we serve one another. We use our freedom that we found in Christ to answer to this world that has no freedom, that has no love, that has no serving each other. And lastly, we need to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up. What a call. I hope that 2016 is a love one another, serve one another, and encourage one another year, and that we can, as a body, have all the members marching to the same drummer. That we as a body can be looked upon, and this is what Jesus says, that because of the way you act, they're going to know that you're mine. That would be the request of us this morning. All for Jesus. That's what it is. Someday, we're going to see him face to face. Someday, we're going to throw our crowns at his feet, and we're going to receive our reward. Yes, we have eternal life. That can't be taken away, but I want to bring with me things that I've done in service for him, because not because I'm obligated to work towards that, but because of my response of my heart to the one who gave all for me that I might live and have life through him. The team is going to come up and is going to play a closing song as we just close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for the picture you've given us of a body that needs each member. Lord, thank you for each member that's here, and we just pray a blessing for 2016 on each family, each person. Lord, that you will make yourself real to us, and that we will allow your Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives to bring us back to the relationship you want us to be in. And Lord, for those that may not be part of the body this morning, our prayer would be that your Spirit would be apparent in their life, and that you would just pull on them, Lord, and show them the need that they have of a great Savior, a life that can be lived for your honor and for glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.